Children, before we send you off to the kids' house and the little house, with everyone, it's not a children thing, it's the church thing. Let's memorize the weekly memory verse. So last week, we memorized, I believe it's John 6:40. Let me help you with this. What's the first letter starting with the letter W? Come again?
Will.
E?
Everyone.
I or L?
Listen.
Looks. Looks to the S son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Very good. Okay? Now let's do it together, starting with the reference, John 6:40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. John 6, verse 40. This week's memory verse is, I believe, from 2 Corinthians. Yes. Let's say it together. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Very good. Children, have a wonderful time in the kids' house, little house, and Pastor Jeremiah, please come forward.
I always appreciate and love seeing the testimony of a baptism, and such a wonderful testimony of Ava, wasn't it? And I encourage you, after you can come and touch the water, maybe Pastor Rick did that, it's as a remembrance of your own baptism. And I remember mine was in my pastor's backyard, in a tub like this, actually. But I was the third one after three, so the water was a little dirtier after each dunk, but that's okay. We're all clean in Christ. Now, I want you to look at this picture here. Anybody know who painted this painting? Okay, Vincent van Gogh. And you know what story that he is trying to represent in his painting? Yeah, parable of the sower in the Bible. A man sowing the seed. And if you know, Van Gogh was an interesting character. He grew up as a pastor's kid in the Dutch Reformed Church in southern Holland. And one of his most memorable sermons of his dad, and one of the biblical images he always came back to, was this parable. But he also had a lot of struggles, if you know. He probably had, maybe he was on the autism spectrum. He had epilepsy, perhaps, and he had a lot of behavioral maybe problems and didn't really do well with social interactions. And after he left his Christian bubble and went into the world as kind of an art dealer or tried to, he was very depressed and he left his faith and instead found comfort in alcohol and, as what the Dutch say, the red light district, if you know what that means. But God was not done with Van Gogh, and even though the word was snatched from his life, a few years later, he was really down and found and met a Christian in England, actually, and started to come back to God's word. And his faith grew, but it was an interesting foundation. Some people think maybe his faith is really strong and looked strong that time because there was a woman he really liked and wanted to marry them, but he needed to be a Christian. Also, throughout his life, I've been reading his biography, he's been trying so hard to gain the approval of his parents. They always misunderstood him. They always were frustrated with him. He never lived up to their expectations. So he tried so hard to be a Christian, but it was too hard. And eventually, actually, he tried to become a pastor. He couldn't make it in school, so he tried to be a pastor through kind of another route, a local church. And he became really, seemed like really serious in his faith. He thought that when Jesus said, sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and follow me, he took that literally. He actually lived in a little shack and gave all his money to the miners that were around him. He didn't eat very much. He never bathed. He thought bathing was too bourgeois. And he was so focused on just telling others about Jesus. But at the time, Holland was actually known as the most socially conscious country in Europe. To be successful, you had to be middle class, dress the part, and have the right friends. And his parents were very ashamed of him and his faith. And they told him, you cannot keep doing this. You should leave being a pastor and go become an art dealer again. So he had that choice again as the thorns of this world and the worries of the world surrounded him. Now, have you ever kind of experienced this? You thought that you understood the Word of God. You thought you had an experience with God. And then life happens and you begin to doubt and worry. You stop living like a follower of Jesus. And you don't even think about him very often until maybe you come to church. We're doing a series right now called Jesus on the Move, and we're going through the book of Mark. And today we're looking at the parable of the sower and looking at the question, why do some people seem to struggle in their faith and others thrive? What's going on there? And we're looking at what is Jesus up to behind all these, behind this story in the Bible and behind all our stories. And you may think and feel like Jesus is on the move. My whole life, it's been amazing. I loved Ava's testimony where Jesus became real to her. He was kind of in the background, then came into the forefront. But maybe you don't sense Jesus at all. Maybe you're not a believer in Jesus. So I'm glad you're here. Or maybe you thought Jesus was in your life, but you don't sense him anymore. You don't see him at work. The good news is that Jesus is on the move in your life and in the world, and he doesn't give up on us. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn with me. Also, we have a sermon outline that you can join as well. The QR code is in front of you, or you can go to our website. We're going to Mark chapter 4, and we're going to read all the way from chapter 1 down to verse 20. Hear the word of the Lord. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large, they got into a boat, sat in on it, out on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He told them many parables in his teaching and said, listen. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on the rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. Then Jesus said, listen, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. When he was alone, the 12, those are the 12 disciples, and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those who are on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Others, like the seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Can we read this last one together? Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop. Some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the word planted in Ava's life, and now we see fruit in her life. And we praise you for that. Lord, but some of us, we're struggling. Like, we don't see any change. We don't see or sense you moving. I pray, Holy Spirit, just meet them where they are. Give them your grace and comfort. And may you reveal to us who you are and what you're doing in and through these small words of mine today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can write this in your notes. This is what I believe God wants us to know today. Jesus moves like a generous sower so that we may grow in the kingdom that moves the world. Now, when I first heard this story when I was growing up, I thought the focus was always on the four soils. The point of the story is to be a good soil. Work hard to be a good soil. The truth is, however, as you go deeper into the text, the good news of Jesus is never about us. It's always about God sending his own son, Jesus, for our sake. It's never about how good we are. It's always about how good God is. And thank you for Ava for bringing that up again. The main character in this story and in history is God revealed in his son Jesus, who generously gives his word, his good news, his message to the world. And he establishes a kingdom that is growing today and will never fade away, no matter what soil is present. And in light of what God is doing, when Jesus is telling us this story, he is inviting us to examine our hearts, to honestly listen deeply enough to allow us to peek and peer into what's really going on inside of us as we relate to Jesus and his kingdom. Jesus moves like a generous sower so that we may grow in a kingdom that moves the world. So we're going to look at just those two main points today based on that theme and goal. The first one is Jesus moves like a generous sower. Now, the word parable literally means thrown alongside, and what Jesus is doing is comparing earthly reality, a man sowing and planting seeds, to spiritual reality. A farmer sowing his field is a very common image to the audience of Jesus, and this is the first parable of Mark, and Jesus tells us that the key to understanding all parables comes from this parable, and so he helps to interpret it for us, which I really, really appreciate it. And the key word that we must, that Jesus is asking us to do is chapter 4, verse 3, listen. It's a command. Listen deeply. Hear what I am saying. Those who hear the word, understand it, are able to accept it. For he who has ears, let them hear. Jesus wants us to look deep down in our hearts to see how the story relates to us. Now, this farmer is a very interesting farmer. Now, there's some debate on how Israelites farmed, I won't get into that debate now. But the main point is, you can write this in your notes, the sower plants generously and indiscriminately. He's not saying, oh, the good soil here, I'll put more seed here. No, he's just, seed for you. He's just doing it generously. Like Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God, and the infertile soils, which are most of them, remind us of the people rejecting Jesus' message. Now, the image here is Jesus is on the move, sowing the word of God across the earth. He's generous, he's not careful. However, people seem to keep rejecting the gospel. There's this climate of rejection, climate of unbelief, as one person puts it. And in Mark 3, Pastor Victor last week talked about, just before this, Jesus was talking about the unpardonable sin, which is rejecting the good news of Jesus. And let me just read what's this, a quick little review, chapter 3, verse 20-22. It says here, when Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. And the teacher of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, he is possessed by Beelzebub, by the prince of demons. He is driving out demons. Even though the word of God is being spread, why are people not accepting it? So Jesus then tells us this story. And Pastor Victor drew from C.S. Lewis last week that when we hear the message of Jesus, we can only come to three conclusions, three L's. You guys remember what these are? One is Jesus is a lunatic. And another one is liar. And third one is Lord. His family thought Jesus was out of his mind, a lunatic. And the religious leaders thought that he was a liar possessed by demons. Now, it's easy to think that if we were there back then, if I was hearing Jesus' words, I'd be the good soil. I would call him Lord. But that's easier to say than actually do. We are so good at thinking that we are better than others. Now, you can write this in your notes. A parable. This parable is not telling us what we ought to do. Rather, it's describing how things are. He's explaining what's going on with all the rejection. And it's an invitation to see if we are deceiving ourselves. Satan is the father of lies. And the thorn, the deceitfulness of this world of riches is very, very prevalent. And Jesus is simply describing how and why people have been rejecting him and his kingdom, and his invitation to listen, to wonder, to see if we are deceiving ourselves. And that's why I think Mark and two other gospels also have this story. It's very important. Now, let's now look at these soils. So what I'm going to do is look at Jesus. We're going to read Jesus saying the parable, and then we're going to go directly to his interpretation, okay? So it's a little bit easier. Let's look at the first one. Mark chapter 4, verse 4, and then we'll go to 15. So 4 verse 4 says this, as he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. And now verse 15, this is Jesus' interpretation. Some people like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan, and during that time, birds were sometimes described as kind of evil beings. Like, I like birds, but in this context, Except magpies. I hate magpies. Anyway, Satan, the magpie, comes and takes away what was sown in them. The Bible tells us that we are in this spiritual war, and the enemy called Satan, and the word means accuser. The accuser comes in, look at how bad you are. You are not worthy. You could never be part of God's kingdom, God's family. Jesus came to destroy the work of the evil one, and Jesus did die and rose again to defeat the devil. However, he's not dead yet until Jesus comes back again, and he's still messing things up. Now, Jesus' family, they heard Jesus' word, but they couldn't conceive that his strange older brother, like Vincent actually, could be the Messiah, the Son of God. And the religious leaders, they couldn't believe that this humble carpenter could be the one they've been waiting for. They heard it, and immediately it was ripped away from them. And Van Gogh, leaving his homeless family, the word was given to him all his life, but it was snatched up by this world. And he eased his depression through alcohol, through parties. Before it could take real root, the enemy snatches it from people's hearts. Okay, let's look at the second soil. 5 and 6 is, we'll read it here. Some fell on the rocky place where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. And now let's look at Jesus' interpretation. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it for joy. But since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, many people who follow Jesus followed him not because they truly believed and loved him. Rather, either they were just following the crowd. Oh, there's a new guy on Instagram. Let's just follow him. Or their friends. Or their family. Or they wanted something from Jesus. Once their friends left or kind of got tired, oh, let's go here now. Or maybe their family kind of gave it up. Or what they wanted was not given. Their prayers for healing, for power, for success. Oh, you can't give me that, Jesus? Okay, I guess it's not worth it. And this is especially true when Jesus started receiving threats by the religious leaders. And those who following him were marked as enemies of Israel. They soon left as well. And Van Gogh, he seemed to have a passion for Jesus, but it seems that what he really wanted was love and respect from his father. He wanted his father, who was a pastor, to be proud of him. And even though maybe Van Gogh was sincere in his faith, the foundation wasn't Jesus himself, loving Jesus, but the foundation was wanting acceptance from his father. And when his father never gave that love and acceptance he craved, it really shook his faith. And we may have had an experience with God or grew up in a Christian home with Christian family or friends. However, is our faith resting on Jesus or the experience of Jesus? Is it resting on knowing Jesus or knowing friends of Jesus? Is it based on Jesus himself or getting things from Jesus? And I love how Ava kind of made that transition where she was kind of ashamed to talk about her faith, but then it became real for her. And even when it was hard or uncomfortable, she still stood in her faith. This is a time where we have to listen, discern, are we deceiving ourselves? Okay, the last bad soil. Verse 7 and then 18 and 19. Other seed fell along the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. And then, 18:19, Jesus says this, still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life The deceitfulness of wealth and desires for other things come and choke the word, making it unfruitful. This world, and I don't mean the earth, but the system that we've created, society, has values which often are very different than the kingdom of God. It's full of distractions which seek us to pull us away from worshiping God and trusting Him to worshiping and trusting what they have to offer. Jesus' closest friends, one of his disciples, Judas, was following Jesus all this time, but then he got upset that we're not sure exactly that Jesus did not come to kick the Romans' butt. Like, what are you doing, Jesus? We're just sitting here. And then the religious leaders offered him wealth to betray Jesus. So Judas gave up the word and betrayed the Son of God. Now, Van Gogh, he's a very socially awkward person, and his family kept pressuring him to make friends of people with high social status, and that meant giving up his eccentric faith and also giving up him being a pastor. And from that pressure, he actually did leave being a pastor and tried to be an art dealer, but things actually got worse and worse for him. Then Jesus, finally, let me just preface it now, is these soils, these stories meant to, what is going on in our hearts right now? And then Jesus tells us about the good soil. You can write this in your notes. The good soil has been given. As the kingdom of God has been given, it is a divine act of God. This is the grace. 4 verse 11. We can read this here. Oh, he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. That phrase, given to you, is called a divine passive. It means you can only get it from a divine source. Now, in contrast to his family and the religious leaders, the good soil that the word fell on was these, it was 12 disciples, then it went down to 11, unfortunately, and there was about 100 other people around Jesus. Now, if you get to know the disciples, they're not really, you know, the cream of the crop, if you know what I mean. They're humble fishermen. There's a political activist. You know how those types are. There's a tax collector. There's all these weird, strange, humble people. And the kingdom of God was given to them not because they were better than the others, but because of God's grace. He had a special plan for them to allow them to receive the word of God because he loved them. And Jesus was generous to them, not based on how good he was. And through them, Jesus then would bless the whole world. Jesus moves like a generous sower so that we may grow in a kingdom that moves the word. And this is the last point here. Jesus moves so we may grow in a kingdom that moves the world. Now, when we think of a kingdom or an empire, a farmer might not be the best metaphor. A kingdom is usually like a swarm of locusts or a leaping giant. Most kingdoms like Rome are very aggressive. They don't take time to plant a garden and smell the roses. But that's the point of Jesus' story. You can write this in your notes. Jesus is a sower, not a military force or a salesperson. He is the Logos, the truth and wisdom of God. In the book of John we did for Christmas, Jesus is described as the Word of God, the Logos, the power, the meaning, the way to connect between us and the divine. And this is the same word used in Mark chapter 14. The farmer sows the word, the Logos. Now, the farmer is not just sowing the message of Jesus. Jesus is the embodiment of the message, is the embodiment of the kingdom. When you think of the kingdom of God, we should directly think of Jesus, the King of Kings. And Jesus is being planted everywhere. Jesus is on the move in every kind of soil, and he confronts every kind of soil. You can write this in your notes. When people encounter the truth, everything is lost or everything is gained. Mark chapter 4, verse 12. This is a very hard thing to understand. Everything is said in parables, that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, ever hearing but never understanding. Others, they might turn and be forgiven. This is a reference to Isaiah. Let me give you a short parable to help you understand what this kind of means. You know, there are many fake Van Gogh paintings in the world. One guy bought a Van Gogh painting thinking it was fake for $50 at an auction, or at a garage sale, sorry. Guess how much it's worth now? More than a million. It's between $2 million and $36 million, $15 million. Now, can you imagine, let's say four people had the same Van Gogh painting and they believed it was true and they went to an auction to sell their paintings. And then there was an expert Van Gogh person comes in, he takes all the paintings and he examines which one is real. And he comes out and he says to all the four art dealers, only one Van Gogh painting is real. You can have two reactions to that. One would be like, I really want to know which one is real. Even if it's not mine, I want to know the truth. Or you can say, this guy's hogwash. I don't believe you. I don't want to know what you think. I don't want to know the truth. And you take your painting, whether it's real or not, and go home. The truth, when it's presented to you, will either give understanding to those who want to know it, or it will harden the hearts for those not ready for the truth. And when we encounter Jesus, the Logos, everything is either lost or is gained. We can either accept it or walk away and reject it. And this truth, this word, is something that we can't find out for ourselves. It has to be given to us. And I believe that we're here today, hearing the testimony of Ava, hearing the word of God, because Jesus is meeting you. The Logos is meeting you. And I encourage you, if you sense his heart, and if you've not accepted Jesus as the Lord, consider that today. And let me just end with this. You can write this in your notes. The number of seeds that are not able to bear fruit does not compare to the abundance of the harvest that is here and now and also is to come. I think when we so focus on, oh, look, the seed's not being planted, the sower puts all this seed out, and then the ones that do bear fruit, 30, 60, 100 times what was originally sown. Even though a lot of seed is not bearing fruit, there is so much more that is happening. The enemy cannot stop the harvest of Jesus. This world cannot stop the harvest of Jesus. No kingdom can stand against the kingdom of God. And Jesus is the King of Kings, and he will reveal that to us when he comes again in his glory. And I'll give you two applications, then I'll end. Sorry about that. I keep saying I'm ending. Two applications, just so you can put it in your heart. Reflect on how you have received the word of God. Just because you received it in hard ground or the path doesn't mean you're going to stay there. Jesus keeps sowing you. Come on. It's not about, oh, I got to be a better soil. There is a part of that. Yes, once we have heard the word of God, we are called to be, but just the point is not to make ourselves look better before God, but just to, yes, Lord, I am at this place right now. I want you in me, in my life. All we could do is accept it. And also, where do you see the kingdom of God growing in your life? We've seen already Ava's testimony of God shaping her life in her Bible reading, in her devotion, in her love of Jesus, and in her service to the children's ministry. We see God working, and we praise him for that, trusting that he will never fail. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much that your word is enough, that you are holy and beautiful and true. And we hold on to the promise in Colossians that says this, that the faith and love that springs from the hope stored up in heaven for you has been bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it's been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you, continually asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding, that the Spirit may give you the power to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every good way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. So, Lord, as we seek to know you, may you continue to grow in us patience and endurance and peace. And for those who have not committed their lives to you yet, speak to them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You can come into our hearts and dig up the ground, for the kingdom of God is given to us. And thank you that you, Jesus, the kingdom, is here with us right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.